Hello, everyone. I'm Katie Marnie from the EM Economics team at JP Morgan, and today I'm joined by Nikolai Alexandru, also from EM Economics. Together, we lead the EM Edge publication, a weekly publication that covers a set of 30 economies covered outside of our flagship Global Data Watch product. So, Nikolai, it's good to be back on the podcast with you. Last week in our weekly, we assessed whether the repricing of DM easing had affected our outlook for the EM Edge. So before we turn to that, I thought it'd be good for us to rewind for a moment. At the turn of last year, we were quite optimistic. We wrote a cover, you know, essentially talking about Christmas presents to the EM Edge economies, given the repricing of the Fed that had occurred. And we said basically, given positive fundamentals for the frontiers, but also this favorable external environment, things were looking pretty good going into this year. So in reality, for the global economy, things haven't changed that much. You know, we're still growing slightly above potential, and financial conditions are still easier than they were in the third quarter of last year. But DM inflation, particularly on the core side, is coming in stickier, which has tempered some of the market's optimism around rate cuts. We've now fully priced out March rate cuts, and you know we're again markets now align more with our call, which is for easing, you know, from the Fed to start in June. But that said, what I found interesting last week was that our calls for the EM Edge economies haven't changed that much. Part of that is that FX rates have held in relatively well; they've been relatively stable, and that takes some of the pressure off our central banks. Also, we've had favorable inflation trends, which we can get to. And then lastly, you know, even some of our edge economies, which had been locked out of markets for the last 2 years, particularly those in sub-Saharan Africa, took advantage of the window of lower rates to issue debt, which helps ease liquidity concerns, for example, in Kenya. Nikolai, I thought maybe before we turn to the central bank discussion, what have we learned on the latest inflation prints and the edge? You know, again, and how do we contrast that with what we're seeing for the data in the DM?
Yeah, thank you, Katie, and hello everyone. Good to be back on the podcast. I think what we've learned based on January data, because February data is incomplete at this point in time, is that there is a diverging inflation picture across various parts of the edge space. Basically, what we've seen in January, it was a sharp acceleration in momentum of inflation in Asia edge, some acceleration but not really an aggressive one in Europe edge, and then both Africa and LATAM edge with momentum in inflation moving lower. I would say two things about this developments. One is that it's good to see momentum of inflation in Africa moving lower. This was the part of the world where inflation has been the highest, both over year ago terms, but also sequentially, like in momentum terms. And the fact that we are getting some disinflation there, it's encouraging. We did talk about it in the past as being largely the byproduct of FX weakening, because Africa has seen a lot more FX weakening than other parts of the edge space. Since that is kind of not necessarily coming to an end, but it's less aggressive than in the past, and we're seeing some benefits in the inflation dynamics. The other one is that if we look at inflation movements, where we are now, it's basically in line with pre-COVID rates of inflation in both Latin America edge and Europe edge, while we are quite significantly higher, in fact, in both Africa and Asia edge. So problems are really in Africa and Asia edge. And like I said, I mean, with acceleration in momentum in Asia edge, that's a bit on the concerning side. But then again, if we look at what drives that acceleration, it's basically two countries. We cover four countries in Asia edge, and two countries are driving this acceleration, both Sri Lanka and Pakistan. But there are also some, let's say, one-off factors at play there. So it remains to be seen whether this is really going to turn out to be a concerning development, because at least in our forecast, we assume things are going to improve.
Thinking about particularly Europe Edge and LATAM Edge, I mean, I think there's a there's an interesting comparison that we can do, linked to the whole to the Fed discussion. So, LATAM Edge, and then also Vietnam, we can touch on that. It appear more sensitive to Fed signaling, Fed pricing than other parts of the edge space. So these frontier CBs have been, were among the earliest to move. And as you said, what has afforded them space to cut rates so far has been benign inflation trends, but also solid external accounts and well-supported currencies. But again, they do screen as more sensitive. And in the case of, for example, Dom Rep, we actually changed our call last month, because the central bank had signaled that uncertainty on the Fed outlook had entered its reaction function. But in those cases, we think they'll continue to cut. That said, we don't think they have strong enough reasons to go below neutral, either because growth is above potential or because they're watching inflation expectations. Again, in the case of say Dom Rep and then Paraguay, there the central banks have just signal that they are also, again, watching the Fed. For Dom Rep, it could be just given that they are more dependent on say on portfolio flows than say Costa Rica, which has strong FDI flows. Vietnam is another one that has shown volatility, given Fed and dollar moves. We saw that in the tail end of 2022. But in that case, liquidity has stabilized there, and so we think that again, after cutting, the central bank probably is pretty comfortable where it is, and if anything, again, just given where the Fed, given the uncertainty on the Fed, the central bank has additional reasons to stay on hold. But that said, I think so. In the case of the LATAM economies, again, it's they have an eye on the Fed, but ultimately, domestic conditions are still, an equally important part of their reaction functions. How would you contrast that with, say, what you see in Europe Edge and then other parts of the world, Nikolai?
I mean, I think in Europe Edge it's quite straightforward, at least from as far as I can see, that there is less of a connection with the Fed. Global conditions matters, so I'm not downplaying that. But clearly, at least if we look at countries in Central Asia and Caucasus that we cover, like Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Georgia, all these three are seeing rather strong growth. They are running with positive output gaps. Even central banks talk persistently about concerns coming from the demand side for the inflation outlook, right? So for this set of central banks, clearly domestic conditions matter more. They are further away from the US. They are closer to countries like Russia and China. And in fact, for those three names that I mentioned, economic developments, but also geopolitical developments in either Russia or China are probably more relevant than what the Fed does. But there is another part of the Europe Edge, Ukraine and Serbia, which is facing negative output gaps. But despite that, they also have pressure on services inflation. That's more of a story in Serbia, which kind of limits the disinflation. And they are more linked to both of these countries to what the ECB is doing rather than what the Fed is doing. And again, particularly in the case of Serbia, where there is also a lot of lending, which is either in euros or indexed to euros. So ECB plays a significantly bigger role. Definitely, the countries outside of LATAM and Vietnam that you mentioned, as I said, they depend more on domestic conditions, and this is true probably in the case of Africa. In Africa, or I already mentioned, inflation rates are quite elevated. They are facing various domestic imbalances and domestic shocks, and therefore there are various idiosyncratic factors at play, which are basically forcing these central banks to hike. Some of them have hiked already. Some of them could hike even more, and we have that in the forecast for both Egypt and Nigeria, for example, but also Zambia. There are only a couple of central banks that we expect to cut rates this year. Ghana already cut, but it's coming from very high levels, and Kenya, which acted preemptively, did what I would say almost everything right, and they will have space to ease monetary conditions at some point later this year. Back to you, Katie.
So clearly, talking through it, I mean, it feels as though, and as I said at the outset, that the outlook for these frontier economies still feels, quite positive, and this is affording our central banks space to ease at their different, paces, even though in some cases they do need to keep an eye on external conditions. I think it's important to remember as well that again, we've seen, relative to where frontier economies were, say, 2 years ago, external accounts and fiscal accounts are in better positions. So even though we've seen some repricing, again, I think the outlook there is still relatively positive. But thinking about risks on the horizon, I mean, let's imagine a world where, the market, starts to doubt whether the Fed will cut, or whether it will cut as much as it thinks now. I mean, what are some of the risks on the horizon for you, Nikolai, and what would be a mitigating factor for these economies?
I think what you just mentioned about the possibility that Fed is going to cut less, and after I said that, the domestic conditions matter more, I'm going to kind of take a bit away from what I said, in the sense that if indeed we have no cuts at all from the Fed, this will significantly impact the frontier space, I would say. Why? Because it might translate into tighter global financial conditions after we had some significant easing from the peaks we reached over September, October last year, in both the dollar and US rates. So that's definitely one factor of concern. Second factor of concern is that we have in the edge space, we have countries like that are pegged to the dollar. So once the Fed is not easing, then obviously central banks there won't be able to ease at all. So this will keep monetary conditions tight, including in countries like, for example, the GCC space. So this becomes challenging. Another point I would highlight, which is not linked to the Fed rate decision, it's really about food. We have seen global food inflation peaking in April 2022 after the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Since then, we basically had almost nonstop decline in food prices. We know very well food accounts for a significant share of the baskets in the edge space. Some countries that are richer, it's less, but for majority of the countries in the edge space, that's an important one. And if we get a reversal in food prices, that could be a challenge. It doesn't look we're anywhere near that, just to be clear. But that's a risk to watch out after a long period of decline in food prices, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, if I can echo you, I think that the for some economies, particularly those in LATAM edge, external accounts are in much better positions, and they're funded more and more by FDI, so that helps mitigate things. But I think that in the case of severe market repricing of the Fed, if we did see that accompanied with more dollar strength, that would complicate the inflation fight for some of these economies, and therefore lead us to to rethink some central bank calls. So I agree with you there. I think the other main risk I would highlight is just if we did see, not just on food prices, but just a spike in global commodity prices, whether it be oil or something else, and whether that puts more pressure on some of our commodity importers, both in terms of correcting for inflation and then also putting pressure on external accounts. Again, that's not our base case, but in a world where global growth surprises to the upside, and potentially we have some geopolitical risks thrown into that, that would be another one where I would be eyeing it. So again, I think, it tells me that we're not out of the woods, but certainly given the balance of risks right now, things can look good. Things look okay, but again, we still have to keep an eye on these factors for these more exposed economies.
No, I agree. Risks are kind of somehow becoming more to the forefront, but for now, we still have reasons to stay positive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what we highlighted, as you said, late last year and again early this year, the positive global environment for frontier economies is still in place, and that's why, again, I think we have reasons to remain positive.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's end it there. So I want to thank our listeners for tuning in to another episode of the Global Data Pod on the Edge. We hope to see you again soon. And thank you, Nikolai, for joining me for this episode as well. This communication is provided for information purposes only. Please refer to JP Morgan research reports related to its content for more information, including important disclosures. 2024, JP Morgan Chase & Company, all rights reserved. This episode was recorded on March 5, 2024.